Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And you're listening to the Celtics Life podcast.
Welcome into this week's Celtics Life podcast. This episode, we're talking trades, the draft, and we've got a guest to help us break it all down from a different fan base's perspective. As always, thank you for listening. We'd really appreciate it if you subscribe and rate us 5 stars. Helps us be seen, or leave reviews with any comments that you have. But let's jump right in to the off season that has already kind of come out swinging with Kawhi Leonard and all of the stuff that's going on there. Justin, how's it going?
I just want a couple of days off where I can think about next season without having new input like this to deal with. I remember once upon a time there was this thing called the off season where nothing happened for.
Yeah, it's since when did that change? Like 2013 when it suddenly started getting just like every summer. It became like its own event.
I think Summer League is a big part of it, its popularity, its growth. But it seems like it's getting crazier every summer.
Yeah, and especially when we hear Wick Grausbeck say, the Celtics front office say that this is probably going to be a pretty quiet summer for the Celtics. Huh? And we're already linked to like a top. It's like we're less than 2 weeks removed from the end of the season or from the end of like the NBA basketball. And we're already still getting this information, kind of freaking out that we're chasing a trade, that Kyrie might be on the move, stuff like that. All this like crazy, crazy stuff is just going on. But yeah, let's go straight to Kawhi.
Okay.
You and I have thought about this.
We have.
We do not get along with this.
I'm pretty conservative when it comes to, major moves in terms of top 20 talent. And I'm pretty adventurous when it comes to the bottom of the ladder, guys, but when we're talking, potentially dealing somebody like, Kyrie or Gordon or, even some of the younger guys in a larger package, I'm really, really conservative just because of, there's a lot of things to consider, and we can get into that in a second, but why are you so high on getting Kawhi on board?
Because Kawhi is one of he is arguably a top 5 player in the NBA.
I agree.
How do you pass on that opportunity? And then what we do agree on is just the insane defensive possibilities that lineup would create.
Oh, yeah.
Of, like, Kawhi, Horford, Jalen, Jason, Hayward. Like, it'd just be an insane defensive lineup. Absolutely wild. Unstoppable.
Unsuperable, yes.
It'd be the immovable object in that phrase. And I don't think that the Warriors are that unstoppable force. I think we would just be the immovable object in that equation against everybody. It would just be unfair
on defense. I don't deny it.
He's a good scorer. What are your issues with Kawhi?
Okay, so for me there are a bunch, but just from the strategic thing that we're talking about at this moment, if we trade away, for example, Kyrie, then we have only one starting level ball handler, and he's just getting to that starting level ball handler now, in my opinion. He's had some really great moments, but you have to think, I'm talking about Terry Rozier, you have to think about the fact that sometimes he's not quite a starter level point guard, and that's just, he's very hot and cold. He'll probably grow out of that maybe even next season. So it could, if we retain him, if he's not part of that deal and it's a Kyrie that we end up trading in some parts, in that situation, we might be okay, but I'm still kind of nervous about the fact that where do you put him in the lineup, and do you start your 5 best players? How do you deal with the egos if you don't? I mean, right now, everybody is working together. The chemistry is great. Everyone is happy. We still have to integrate players who weren't playing most of the season back into the lineup, and even just the reintegrating Kyrie, Terry being up for free agency soon, there's a lot of you know, touchy potential flashpoints that could break up what has been really an all gutty, unified chemistry kind of a team. So apart from, you know, the unknown injury things, apart from the murk surrounding what is actually going on with his character, apart from the same cap situation that we're facing with Kyrie Irving being even less likely to be re-signed because we have a vocalization that this player prefers to be in Los Angeles, if anywhere. Apart from the fact that we don't even know if he's definitely not signing the designated veteran player exception, I think you guys, if you're still awake, can see I've got a lot of ifs out there that by themselves aren't necessarily insuperable, but taken together, it's really hard for me to see how this is going to work.
Because you got to take risks as a GM. And that's been my answer for most of your kind of qualms that you've had. And I think that Danny Ainge, I think that this is a move where you're upgrading a top 15, top 10 player for a top 5, top 3 player.
Maybe.
And
maybe.
We've established that Terry can be a starting point guard. He's no Kyrie, but you still make the upgrade. You know, you still find the role for, you know, changing Kyrie into Kawhi and turn, you know, into this unstoppable defensive lineup. And that would be, I think, that the value of chasing this. I think that it's a risk that you have to take, because either way, there's a chance that Kyrie or Kawhi walks next summer. And there's concern about that because of what Kyrie has said over the past couple weeks. I don't know how valid those concerns are. Personally, I'm not too worried about it. But there's a chance that either could walk. There's a chance that if we trade Kyrie for Kawhi, Kawhi could walk. There's a chance that we don't trade Kyrie and he walks and we still have nothing. I think that you make the upgrade, because on paper, and yes, this is just on paper, you're making an improvement and you still don't lose anything. You know, I think it would be straight up. I don't even think that there'd be a draft pick involved in what like Woj is reporting and things like that. And I think it's worth doing, because again, just that lineup would just be stupid. It would be so good. And
assuming that he's healthy and assuming that there's any chance at all that he re-signs here, because we've heard some pretty strong words at this point coming out of the people around Kyrie that he's happy here, that he plans on re-signing, you know, and again, things can change, but you know, pushing certain buttons too many times, as we saw with Ray Allen, can really alienate a player. And I'm not saying that these conversations shouldn't happen, but until we have some clarity about the injury, until we have some clarity about whether he's going to be re-signing with San Antonio for the DVPE, until we have a little more clarity about what kind of a player we're dealing with here, I don't think it's going to happen. It might happen this summer, but I don't think it's going to happen, you know, over the draft, before the draft on Thursday. I don't think it's going to happen either. Realistically, I think if this does happen, this is going to be a mid-season trade where both players have played at least a little bit so we can have a look at how they're doing in terms of health. And it's entirely possible that before Danny Ainge would be ready to pull the trigger on such a momentous deal, because, you know, you have to keep in mind he is older, and while he is better when healthy, you also have to take into account the long-term championship window and what that would likely do to, you know, pull a couple of years off of one of the prime talents. It's kind of the same reason why I'm not into dealing Jaylen Brown in a package for Kawhi, unless there is, at the very least, an extension in tow, because I would really rather have a player that is almost as good. I'm projecting, you know, and maybe incorrectly, that we'll probably see something like 70 to 80% fairly comfortably from Jaylen Brown compared to Kawhi Leonard. Their games are different. I'll admit that. That's not my point. But what I'm trying to get at is when you look at Kyrie Irving, who's much younger, when you look at Jaylen Brown, who's even younger, then you have all these extra potential years where you could re-sign them on a long-term deal and have them under team control with their primes in front of them rather than in the thick of them. And to me, that is really, really valuable to building a new Boston Celtics dynasty and not just getting banner 18 and maybe even 19, but 20, 21, who knows what else.
I don't include Kyrie in the, like, 2021. That's, like, for me, in an image that's, like, the Tatum Brown years more than the Kyrie.
Yeah, no, he'll be fading. He'll definitely be fading by then, but he'll still be probably a top 20 to 50 player in that period. So I'm still really into keeping him
at
around.
At that point, yeah, but like, you know, like, you know what? Terry Rozier by that point will be better than Kyrie. Why is that not a conversation then? Because, I mean, it's like, if Terry, like, again.
Bunch of ifs, man.
But no, but here's what, if you're saying that, like, we have to look towards the future, then, like, yeah, let's trade Kyrie, get Kawhi, and then be better now, better chance at 18, 19. And then we have Terry, who's going to be better than Kyrie for 2021. It's like, I mean,
you can lock him up.
It's like, you can look at these conversations.
I might be more into it.
You can look at these, like, yeah, you can find an argument for anything. But it's like, I think that the immediate concern is getting back another championship for Boston. And I think that the best team to do that would be with Kawhi Leonard over Kyrie Irving for just this year, just this year. This upcoming season, assuming, and that's assuming both are healthy, and that's assuming both are healthy. But like, we don't know either. We have been told Kyrie's gonna be better. We've been told that he's gonna be healthy. He's gonna be good to go by like scrimmages in August. So, you know, there's a chance there. But also, we have no idea what's going on with Kawhi. I can't assume that he's still hurt after an entire year off. You know, I mean, sure, he was misdiagnosed, but I feel like he's got to be in good shape. But maybe, you know, this is things that Danny would find out. If those are, if it's possible that he's not healthy and that he's not capable of playing, then we just, Danny won't trade for him. Like, he's not someone who's stupid, but I'm saying if everything works out, if everything makes sense right now, if they're both going to be healthy, they're both going to play, you know, close to 82 games next season, barring any injuries happening on the court, I think it's a better move long term. And then you can extend Terry. You can, you know, focus on the future then, because Kyrie is still a question mark. I mean, he's got an injury history, and I'm skeptical about dudes who have that. Kawhi doesn't have nearly as much of a resume of injuries that Kyrie does.
That's not true.
Yes,
at all.
He's younger. It is true.
He misses at least 10 games every year between injuries, and while he's not fragile in the same way that Blake Griffin is, he definitely has a well-documented history of missing a significant portion of almost every season he's been in.
Minor injuries, though. I mean, we're talking about, like, things that, like, not like knee. Like, any basketball player with a knee injury is always on, like, a list for me of guys that you probably shouldn't trust long term. I do not trust basketball players with knee injuries. And Kyrie's got surgery done now. Again. Two in the past couple months. It's like, I mean, we're talking about the longevity of this team. Kyrie Irving doesn't necessarily have the health that this team needs long term. And I am severely skeptical of that. Whereas Kawhi, I feel like, yes, he might miss 10 games a season, but you got a good lineup behind him that you can win those 10 games. It's when he comes in and it matters that really counts. And he's done so for the Spurs in the playoffs when they went to two straight finals, winning one of them.
Yeah, and I'm not necessarily as worried about the injury history if he emerges from this. I am very confused. I mean, we don't need to keep going into it because I think we're just going to go in circles like everyone else is. I think at this point, we're just going to have to basically trust Danny and his staff to make the right decision here. So far, I have to admit, all the way back to Kevin Garnett, I've been on the wrong side of him. You know, I'm not going to say like every decision he's made, but when it comes to like really big moves like this, things that have given me anxiety that he has ended up pulling the trigger on, you know, I'm not going to say that there are things that he was rumored to have done, like say DeMarcus Cousins and other people where he supposedly got close to, you know, those are things I also didn't approve of. So I could take credit for those and say that I'm a super knowledgeable basketball person, but In a lot of these situations, things that really I wasn't risk averse to, he ended up pulling the trigger on and it working out. So when it comes specifically to risk averse type generation situations like this, I'll admit I trust Danny. I will give him that carte blanche with what he's done with Fultz and Jason Tatum all the way back to Garnett. So what I would like to think about is, at this point, we're not the only people who are talking about signing Leonard. Who do you think else out there might be a legitimate threat to scoop him if we are even in the running in the first place?
Legitimately?
Legitimately. I don't really care about the Phoenixes who think that they could maybe, you know, flip the number one pick, or Sacramento, or, you know, any of that nonsense, but...
Yeah. Well, as of last night, LeBron is trying to maybe get some talent in Cleveland, supposedly, was a report that I saw, that he's trying to get people into Cleveland. Cleveland would be a team that would try and trade for him.
That Brooklyn pick might be kind of attractive. I don't know about much else on that roster that they would actually want to move, but they could probably put some good stuff in there for San Antonio.
Similarly, and this is separate, but Toronto also said that no one is untouchable for a top 10 pick. So, you know, maybe Toronto finds a way to send somebody to Cleveland to do something like that. But, you know, I could see Cleveland making some moves and just blowing it up in an attempt to keep LeBron again, which just makes them look even worse when they end up losing him. But, you know, it's just like, I could see Cleveland being a serious possibility. I'm not so sure about Philly. I don't know if maybe Philly has some trade bait that they could use. They might include like Markel Fultz in a deal with like a handful of other players. And yeah, there's some appealing pieces there. I wouldn't be too surprised to see Philly get in the sweepstakes. And then the teams that he claims to be interested in, or I'm not sure if I should say he as much as his camp,
his group,
claims that he's interested in. Yes. And, you know, so that's like the two Los Angeles teams. But I don't know if they have the pieces that San Antonio would be willing to part with him. I mean, they still have a year with him and the DPE, which is, I think, more appealing than his group says that it isn't. So, you know, I don't take the Lakers or the Clippers too seriously. I guess the Lakers could send him some stuff, but their future draft picks are locked up too. You know, it's like they don't have a lot of their future picks as well. And the young talent's there, but not at a Kawhi level.
Yeah, they're going to have to package something with Deng to somebody, either a third party like Atlanta, I've heard them link to, just to make the salaries work and then still have, you know, space to bring in somebody like LeBron, another top tier free agent, or near top tier anyway. It would require a fair amount of maneuvering, and, you know, if any team could pull that off, it's the Lakers, but I'm skeptical as well.
Yeah, I think honestly, and then you have the reports that the Spurs sure as hell wouldn't trade him to a Western team. And it just makes, for me, Cleveland the most realistic next to Boston, I think. Just with at least the efforts of maybe LeBron trying to get talent there. And then, you know, the willingness of the team to try and do anything to keep him. I think maybe they'll find some way to trade for him.
Yeah, and if you could get Kawhi in Cleveland, it might actually be worth, you know, paying that absolutely nutso luxury tax bill, repeater tax bill that will hit them. It would be substantial, even if they gutted the team, just because a lot of the contracts they'd have to include in a deal like that would be shorter term ones. So definitely not allow them to shrink their tax bill in the coming season the way that I expected them to. And I still kind of expect them to. But, you know, I personally would roll the dice. They wouldn't lose that much money, I think, with all the media attention it would get to get those two teamed up over there. With Love in the picture...
It'd be the same with the Isaiah.
Yeah.
It'd be the same with the Isaiah deal, where it's like all one-year deals. Like, they just extend LeBron for a year. I mean, I know they don't want to do that again. But... You know, I think he wants to have the flexibility. I don't think he wants to sign a 4-year deal yet, 5-year deal yet. And, I mean, I think he does if he goes to a really good situation, but Cleveland is not that. I think he wants to stay in Cleveland, you know, as like a city. I think he wants to stay with his team, wants to stay near his home, things like that. But, you know, he doesn't want to lock himself into a really shitty situation over the next...
Well, basically, the end of his career,
5 years. Yeah, so I think maybe he signs another 1-year deal. And if it completely falls apart, you know, they traded for Kawhi, they've got a good roster, better roster, I should say. Maybe he sticks around and then signs again or something. Or they all bail and it's all 1-year deals, and then they can just strike it down and ditch the repeater tax after that.
I feel like that's the most likely scenario if it does happen. And frankly, if they can't hang on to Kevin Love in it, I don't think they should bother, because they've got him for a while, and it'll at least keep their team interesting if LeBron does leave. But I don't even think they're a contending team, even if they do bring on Kawhi without Kevin Love as well. I think they definitely need those three guys minimally. I think actually, you know, if you have a Kawhi Leonard defending on your team, that does help erase a lot of the negative aspects of Kevin Love on defense in terms of exploitability.
Yeah. Yeah, because they got a lot of the ability to switch is huge with LeBron and Kawhi on the floor, along with kind of their defensive liabilities. You know, you put Tristan Thompson. That's a big lineup, though.
It is.
I'm trying
to visualize that. But a skilled big lineup, though. Very, very skilled big lineup. Those are all very mobile big men, if you want to count LeBron as a big man.
Well, we actually caught up with a Spurs fan, Zach Rodriguez, who just put out a new trade checker just in time for the madness of the offseason. And we'll take a listen to that. Justin, you talked to him last night.
Yeah, it was actually a really informative conversation. He, as he'll tell you about, he's got, you know, I won't say ties to the Spurs, but it's kind of instrumental in him, like that organization had a lot to do with how he decided to put together this trade checker, which for those of you who aren't necessarily aware of what a trade checker is, we're going to talk about it shortly. I'm going to kick it over to Zach and myself. We spoke with him last night, so in case you're confused about why I'm kicking it over to myself. So let's get in with that, and we'll get back with you shortly. I'm here with Zach Rodriguez, the mind behind a popular new trade checker you should already be using. You can find it at www.TradeNBA.com. That's TradeNBA.com. Nice and easy to remember. And with the summer free agency period nearly on us, and the league about as cap constricted as it's been for at least a half decade, if not longer, that means a lot of trades. So tools to help us divine the rosters of the future have never been more useful. We thought it would be fun to bring Zach on to talk about the trade checker he came up with and why it could be so useful to you, what made him decide to make it, and how he thinks it might be developed in the future. How are you doing, Zach?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Oh, absolutely. So what got you into trade checkers, and maybe you know, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, sure. So I'm Zach Rodriguez here at TradeNBA.com. I'm from San Antonio, Texas, where I've lived for about the past 9 years. I was born and raised in South Texas in the Rio Grande Valley before moving here to attend the University of Texas at San Antonio, where I graduated a few years ago with a degree in computer science. I currently have a day job as a software developer for a finance company and operate my website, TradeNBA.com, in the evenings.
Very cool.
So yeah, go ahead.
That software background is probably super helpful putting this together.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So what is a trade checker, for those who don't know?
Sure. So a trade checker is basically a site or tool that you can use to pick a few different teams, usually between 2 and 4 teams, select players from a roster from those teams, and then attempt to trade those players from one team to another team. And so when you click on trade, usually it'll compare different things, usually based on the player's salary, the team's cap space and salary information. When the trade is executed, it'll tell you whether or not that trade is successful and can actually be executed in real life. So something maybe a GM might do. And then it's just useful to share that information with other people just to discuss possibilities of trade options that may occur between one team and other teams.
Very cool. So for me, you know, ESPN's is the most widely known trade checker. They call theirs the trade machine.
Right.
And for me, it helped me kind of accidentally learn some of the basics of the CBA, the collective bargaining agreement. And, you know, it's useful, but like once I got, you know, a little bit more familiar with the CBA, I found out that there were a lot of things that I wanted to do with it that I couldn't. And it would frustrate me to no end. Like, for example, it's not exactly a miracle that everyone knows LeBron James doesn't go where he doesn't want to go because of his trade, his 10-year-plus no-trade clause. And if I'm on a trade machine, obviously I don't necessarily need the machine to not let me make the trade because of the fact that it technically can't be done, because obviously in that scenario, he would be agreeing to it if it were to happen at all. So I've always been looking for trade checkers that have like additional features, and I have a whole bunch more that we can get into in a minute. Real GM, for example, has another one that will let you suspend some of those rules, and I've noticed that you've made some changes to the initial, I guess you could say, deployment of Trade MBA Trade Checker. So that way it kind of does a similar thing in that it lets you know that you are breaking the rule if you continue, but it lets you do it anyway. So that way, not only do you just get like a you shall not pass, but a little bit of an explanation of why, which I really appreciate from both of these trade checkers so far. But my favorite thing about yours, which nobody else's that I'm aware of does, is that it includes a active list of other tradable assets in the form of draft picks. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about, you know, that and any other features that you could maybe let us know about.
Yeah, sure. So I guess I can kind of start with the origins of the site. Is that fine?
Sure, absolutely.
All right. So basically, maybe about a year ago, I was kind of reading through Pounding the Rock website, and I came upon an article that was basically a job posting for the Spurs. And so I was, you know, I love the Spurs. I'm from San Antonio, Texas. So I clicked on the article, went through the job interview process, and kind of one of the final stages of the process was them sending me an email to create a trade machine, a simple trade machine. They gave me a week to do it. It really didn't have to have anything in it. It could have dummy data. And then just basically, based on one rule, determine if the trade will pass or fail. So I kind of created this trade machine. Before that, I really didn't have any background on how trade machines worked or the trade machines that were out there. But I created the machine that I had. It was simple, just real basic. A few days later, I got an email back saying that I wasn't going to get pursued with the job opportunity. And then from there, I kind of shelved the idea. Mm-hmm. And then maybe a few days later, I started looking into trade machines and what was available, saw the feedback from people talking about the current trade machines and what they were lacking. And then I felt that I can make something that had everything that the other ones didn't. And so initially I started off just trying to make something that was really mobile friendly. So that worked well on mobile, because that was something I noticed that the other two didn't have, or the other ones that are available didn't have. And so I was kind of going with that. Maybe right before playoff season, I had something ready that I could give out with that feature, but I just felt like it wasn't unique enough. So I kind of went back, looked at feedback, saw a lot of people wanted draft picks in there. So I added draft picks, added a few different features, and I really wanted to deploy it sometime during the playoff season, since I had the rankings of the teams on the sites, their schedules, but I felt like it just wasn't ready. So pretty much the day after season ended, I decided it was ready to put out there and announce on Reddit. That was kind of my launch strategy from the beginning, is, you know, hopefully I make something and then post it on the NBA subreddit and people would like it, you know, and luckily enough that worked out and got a good response from that.
Yeah, actually, that's in how I ended up coming across it in the first place. And I've enjoyed watching it change, even in the short amount of time that I've been following it. I've noticed, some of the things that I was talking with you in our emails and such before your appearance here have made it on there. I'm sure I'm not the only one suggesting some of these things, but I'm really into the ability that you can kind of like take a team and toggle, you know, by position or by, you know, some basic stats, years left on the deal, which is incredibly important in my mind for trying to construct deals, because as you know, a lot of deals pass or fail based on whether or not they fit the development arc of a team or whether, you know, a team's trying to get off money. You certainly don't want a guy with 3 years left on his deal if you're trying to like lower your cap hit. So like all those features are really, really interesting. I'm wondering if there's anything else on there that you are working on that you haven't quite gotten, you know, live yet.
Yeah, for sure. So one of the main things that people requested right after I launched it was being able to trade restricted players. So I kind of restricted the players based on the other trade machines that I had and didn't allow them to be traded. So I got a lot of feedback on that and just opening up those restrictions and just having them overridable. So one of the releases I made recently was making any player's restriction overridable and still letting you trade them, and then comparing their salaries and telling you whether or not it would be a valid trade with that restriction override. Also, I made enhancements to sharing trades. There's a trade gallery. You can see all the trades that people are sharing, which ones are getting the most views. I've added Reddit feedback on them. And then also you can sort different stats on the team. So you can sort team players based on their salary, their per, their contract years, their experience, position. What else do I have on there? A few different things. But in the future, I'd like to add their stats on the site. So that way you can sort by stats and then also a league-wide sorting. So like you had mentioned before, just being able to sort players in the whole league by these different options would be really useful. And then also just bringing conversation back to the site. So a lot of times people will share their trades on here and maybe take their conversation to other sites. And so I still want to encourage that to happen, but just show that on my site as well, which is what I tried to do recently with some of the integrations I've made.
Yeah, I thought that you might want to look into, seeing as it's got this tie to Reddit, maybe the possibility of making communities for Trade NBA and then have a link right to them that maybe, you know, making a trade with that team will toggle the option to share that on that Reddit community, like a specific Trade NBA but team-based and maybe league-based Reddit communities. So that way people can talk about them in context where everyone has the same kind of basic interests, though, as we know, they can diverge pretty far on a team by team basis even. But just so that way all the right eyes are in the right place, I guess, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, for sure. That definitely makes sense. Just kind of making it, you know, preferential to the team that the user likes and then kind of having them post specific things, but creating like you're saying, a subreddit or some way to kind of filter these trades and show them, you know, based on the people that want to see them is definitely a great idea. I've had a lot of feedback over the past few days after I posted this, people reaching out, talking about different features they'd like to add. So I've tried responding to basically everybody saying either I'm working on a feature or I've just added it. Also try to grow my social media presence lately and just kind of reach out to users that way and see what they want and see, you know, what value it brings to them and continue adding things like that on the site.
Very cool. So now that we've got your baby kind of framed, what are you looking at the league? You know, you are, as you said, a San Antonio guy. We've been connected as a Boston-based blog to you guys in a way that I'm sure you're not incredibly ecstatic about, but I'm referring here to the it's hard to not say rumors at this point because nobody really knows what's going on with Kawhi Leonard, but seeing your interests and your fandom being San Antonio-based, what is your take on this whole Kawhi Leonard situation, and how do you think, if at all, Boston might have a role in it, just based on what you do?
Yeah, well, kind of sad about the Kawhi news coming out. You know, over the course of the whole season, you kind of had different news outlets reporting different things about Kawhi and how he feels, whether or not he wants to come back, or, you know, just kind of just tension between him and the front office and just the team. So didn't really believe it, you know, being from San Antonio, we're not very, you know, things like big trades, stuff like that doesn't normally happen, or a lot of things the media may report may not be true. So it's just kind of stuff I brushed off. But then with the news that came out a few days ago, it's definitely more real. Then you have the stuff coming out about Rudy Gay today that he's opting out of his player option. So that definitely hurts as well. And so now it's kind of like coming to the realization that maybe that Kawhi isn't coming back, and then seeing what options we have for either trading Kawhi or keeping him and building assets around him is definitely going to be interesting over the next few days.
I think Rudy is trying to position himself for a bigger paycheck should Kawhi end up leaving the scene, and maybe a bigger paycheck elsewhere. But I don't really think – I love Rudy Gay. He's a UConn guy, and I'm a UConn fan, so I'm not going to say anything ill of him. But I don't think that his career is at the point where he's going to get much bigger than a mid-level exception, like a taxpayer mid-level exception at this point, which is about what he turned down, almost exactly, if I'm not mistaken. So – I'm real curious to figure out what exactly is going on in there. I am really nervous about the idea of taking on Kawhi Leonard just because of the really murky situation you described surrounding him, as well as the nature of his injury, which is not a resolved thing as far as I'm aware. Have you heard anything in particular about that makes you feel a little bit better or worse about the situation?
About the injury?
Recovery, I guess you'd say at this point.
Haven't heard anything about the recovery. You know, towards the end of the season, I kept my eyes on that Spurs Twitter. They kept coming out with the injury report. every time it came out, I was hoping, you know, Kawhi wouldn't be on it, but he was. And so, yeah, kind of when the season ended, still don't know if that injury is resolved or if he'll be coming into next season still on the injury list. So, you know, maybe getting a healthy player on the team may be beneficial. But, yeah, I'm not sure where he's at with his injury right now.
Yeah, I don't think anybody is. But, you know, there's still a lot of time left. And that designated veteran player exception possibility is still out there until the first. So, you know, hopefully one way or another, we get some resolution where that's going, because I kind of feel like that's holding half the league hostage at this point.
Yeah.
Well, is there anything else you want to talk on before we get out of here?
I mean, just continuing with the Kawhi topic, if Boston did get him, what would you want, you know, the team to have him surrounded with, or what pieces would you feel you'd be willing to give up for Kawhi?
Oh, man, that's so hard, you know? But the problem with trading for Kawhi is he's a wing, and Boston has a million of them, and the two guys who I think make the most sense on paper would either be a bad fit and good money. So Kyrie's money works almost perfectly for a trade, but if you trade him away, then you have yourself in a situation where you have no primary ball handlers left on the team at a level you would expect to start with the players who are there. Someone is going to end up having to take a seat when tip-off happens, if not for very long. So, you know, you have that to deal with in terms of positionality. You have fit, you know. On paper, it sounds really interesting to see what all this switchability is going to end up playing out to be like. But when you don't have a ball handler, I mean, full-court presses aren't really something you see in the NBA, but if you don't have a regular ball handler on the team, it wouldn't surprise me if teams, you know, start probing ways to disrupt Boston's ability to operate functionally with almost all wings and maybe one or two point guards. I'm sure they could snatch somebody up, you know, on the ring chasing kind of a minimum contract type of a deal to help, you know, address that a bit. But there'd be some really big roster problems trading away Kyrie, you know. And I think, that was a team he was interested in being traded to before he came to Boston, the San Antonio Spurs. So, I mean, there's some elements there that I think could work out okay. But then you have Gordon Hayward on the other side, who probably, because of his age, would be the best wing that would generate enough cap space to make the deal happen. But then you need to take some other stuff on from San Antonio to make that work. And, you know, having a guy play for 5 minutes on your team that used to play for your coach in college, shipping him off is a really bad look. And,
right,
you know,
yeah.
Maybe Danny Ainge isn't going to be here that long, so what he does to piss off free agents won't matter as much. You know, maybe he's within 4, 5, 6 years of retiring, or maybe not. You never know. He could be around for another decade or two. So there's no real easy answer on my end, I think, because, like, if you eliminate those guys, then, you know, you could maybe trade Al Horford, but then the money is even bigger. I don't know. There's a lot of issues on who you could trade that kind of point to me the unlikeliness of such a trade happening. But, you know, from a San Antonio perspective, what do you think the team would most likely want in general, and what would work best for the team from Boston?
Oh, coming from Boston, what assets would they want? You know, Kyrie is definitely kind of up there. I'm not sure on Kyrie's and Horton's health status coming into the year. Are they going to be healthy, or?
Well, they should be ready by camp. But I mean, we've had several incidences in recent years where medical reports were more hopeful, I guess is the word, in terms of when players are going to return for the initial injuries, not the removal of the screw operations that both of them actually ended up having. So we'll see, but I kind of feel like they will at least be able to report to camp and practice, even if they're not quite, you know, in shape. So I think they will be able to play, but you might end up having them be kind of out of game shape by the time they show up for camp.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, yeah, definitely from Boston, I would love to have Kyrie if we had to give up someone like Kawhi. Hayward would also be great, of course. And so I know there's been a few trades that I've seen come through the site that are ridiculous, some that are really good. You know, if we got a few great draft picks, you know, that could turn out well for Kawhi. And so I'm really hoping that Kawhi stays, and at least through the year. But then again, if Kawhi does stay through the year, you know, we don't get anything in return, I guess, next summer. And so it'll be interesting to see what happens in the next few months and what we get in return for Kawhi if that does go through.
Yeah, I really do want to see some kind of resolution, even if it's the Lakers. You know, I mean, on one hand, I'm not a very big fan of the Lakers, which is probably pretty obvious considering this is, you know, Celtics related blog. Just to get it out of the way, you know, like if he could just re-sign with you, extend with you, I don't care what happens. I just want to see this team come back. And, you know, I mean, there's a lot to be said for having stuff to read about in the summer and the off season, but it seems just like the season never really ends anymore. And right, I just want to get ready for next season. Well, anything that you want to give a heads up to our listeners to keep an eye out for on the site, or, you know, just anything in general you can think of?
Yeah, sure. So there'll continue to be updates on the site based on the feedback we've been getting. There's going to be more discussion, development that's going to be worked on the site. So there'll be more content to kind of go through on the site, as well as, you know, stick around and read through. So been engaging a lot with the users. Definitely if anybody has issues or enhancements they'd like to request, they can always go on the feedback part of the site or just reach out on Twitter, TradeNBA1. That's my Twitter handle. They can reach out via that way. But yeah, just in general, definitely interested to see what happens this summer. It's going to be pretty crazy.
Agreed. Well, thank you for coming on, and hopefully we'll have you back on sometime soon.
All right, great. Thank you for having me.
Take care, Zach.
All right, you too. Bye.
All right, so let's talk the NBA draft, which is a couple days away.
The recording, absolutely, is this Thursday, June 21st. I thought we could change this up because I don't know if you feel the same way, but it seems like every day we have 5 or 10 new potential prospects who might be taken at 27th in the draft by Boston, unless, of course, who wouldn't expect this? Danny Ainge buying a pick in the second round, so it's non-guaranteed. Unless, of course, he instead packages Terry Rozier or maybe Marcus Smart. Oh, wait, no, can't package Marcus Smart. But anyway, packages assets to move up in the draft somehow and selects a lottery pick. So because of the fact that there's all these potential contingencies, I thought it might be more useful to try to guess the general path rather than a specific player. What do you think about that?
Okay, I'm into it.
If we keep the pick, number 27, which way do you think that we would go? Replacing Al Horford long-term with a big, perhaps? Or maybe, you know, seeing as we have at least one guard who will likely not be with us in the coming season, a significant minute level in terms of Terry Rozier or Marcus Smart, or depending what you believe, Kyrie Irving, do we go with a point guard or somebody kind of more like a wing? You know, I know Smart is often a ball handler, but in terms of defense, he is one of our primary wing defenders. And, you know, we seem to be in an era of Boston Celtics kind of having fallen in love with wings. Do we keep going with that? I mean, what do you think the strategy here would be if we pick a 27?
I don't think there are enough bigs on the board to make take it, at least around that point in the draft, barring any kind of surprises. I don't think there are enough bigs on the board. So I don't think that we go that direction. I think honestly, and we have a ton of wings, I think generally we'd be looking at some kind of guard, whether it's a point guard or a two guard. So I would guess, you know, we keep seeing links to Grayson Allen, which hurts me inside.
Yeah, me too. I don't want Ted Cruz.
I think that fits kind of the needs of the Celtics right now. Obviously a replacement for Al for the future would be great, but I just don't see any talent at, you know, around the 4 or 5 that would be worth picking and then, you know, locking him into a guaranteed first round deal. So I would guess that if we go that direction, we take a one guard or a two guard.
Anybody off the top of your head that you like?
I don't like Grayson Allen, but I think that would be a very good pick. the kid from Villanova. I can never remember his name. The guy who should be Italian, or probably is Italian.
Oh, Dante DiVincenzo, yeah.
Yeah, I like him. You know, I think that that's kind of the direction that we go if we keep that pick with one of those two, unless they get picked earlier, but I think that's just what we're kind of looking at.
I kind of think that SMU Shake Milton is another interesting potential option. He's a little bit lower in the mocks, but I've seen a fair amount of his games over in the American Athletic Conference when he's played UConn over the years, and he really has that kind of like gritty defensive Marcus Smartish kind of like. And he's got some size too. He's 6'6".
Yeah, well, yeah, he and Semi are like kind of a very similar player, same alma mater. That wouldn't surprise me, I guess. He is quite a bit lower from what I remember from the draft board.
He is. He's so, in the 40s usually.
You know, but those are always. Yeah, those are always, especially when you get past like the lottery, it kind of becomes a toss up of where they're going to drop guys, you know, the mock boards. So, I think Villanova kid or Grayson Allen, honestly, which is again not my favorite, but I think it would fit well. And you know, I mean, it's the thing. The thing is, like, you know, I think of Grayson Allen as kind of like a JJ Redick player, like just despised, kind of a just total jerk in college.
Dookie.
And maybe he'll mature. Yeah, Duke, obviously, the main connection there. But, you know, it's maybe they mature and become, you know, a serious, serious role player. Because there's a reason why JJ is still playing and still, like, you know, he's coveted by teams across the league because he's a good player. He's a very consistent sharpshooter. He knows his role and he does it
well. Yeah, I like the comparison. I think that's actually a really good one. I don't ever think he'll be a star. He probably won't ever make an all-star team, but... You know, he can shoot the lights out and he can defend, and that's a pretty, you know, maybe not the defense part so much for Redick anymore, but, you know, he was a good defender and can be in moments, and, you know, he's still shooting the lights out. So, yeah, I'm into it. Another thing that could end up happening is the whole draft and stash thing that I've been seeing by picking a European player. Now, I've been seeing some connections with Brad Wanamaker. He was connected to us, I think, last year also. He was at a Pitt. He's a little old, I think, to be drafted. So I don't think that there's any chance, for those of you who think that he could be like a draft and stash kind of a player. He's already over there. He's already stashed. So I don't think he's going to be, someone that would be used, but I have seen Eli Okobo of the French league, who's, you know, he's not a bad shooter, 38% and 4.4 assists per game he's averaging in the French league, which is one of the better leagues in the world. I can't really think of anybody else out there off the top of my head, but, you know, maybe one of the better guys that we were looking at overseas this right before the playoffs. Maybe somebody's young enough over there that could be of interest. Anybody you could think of off the top of your head that might fit that kind of a role?
Well, I actually just saw Okobo play in like a U19 game, I believe. And he actually looked, it was really fun. Or a U20 league, I think. It was actually, I don't usually see those, but it was really fun to watch. And then especially once I started kind of looking around, I was like, are we interested in these players? And I found kind of that link. And just the fact that he's projected first round. And I thought it was fun, and I started watching him, and it was just kind of fun to see that, because I don't generally do a lot of like casual scouting, but again, that fits kind of like the 1-2 guy that we need, or I guess, you know, the biggest need that we have would be at a 1-2, yeah. So, you know, he's a fun player. It seemed like he had a really good court vision. He is a pretty good scorer. He was able to drive and cut pretty well. And for a guy who's 6'2", for a guard like that, it was fun to watch. I honestly like that idea a lot. And we've seen Danny's been a big fan of the draft and stash as of late with Tice and Yabusele. So yeah, it wouldn't completely shock me if we do that route and then take him. I would actually be really pleased with that pick.
So the other things that have been discussed, and I think this could happen by, you know, trading the draft pick this year for a future draft pick, just to help, you know, keep the cap. You know, I don't necessarily think this is very likely because, you know, we do have to be very careful with how we spend the cap going forward. with so many players looking to be paid soon, but I don't necessarily think that a 27th pick is going to be a significant issue. But you know, maybe they trade it for 2 years from now, seeing as we have four draft picks coming in next year that we would have to worry about potentially as many as. You think there's any chance that something like that happens?
Not trading it for a future. I mean, no, I don't think it's valuable enough to go into the future. I was looking at the treasure chest of draft picks that we have remaining, what still sticks around, which is now like just like a little. I wouldn't call it a treasure chest anymore.
A treasure satchel,
like the Celtics beat writers call it that, and it's fun to refer. But now, yeah, I need to think of a new comparison for it, what it is now. But I was looking at it, and like after 2021, I think we're completely out. We're just back to our own picks. I'm not sure if Danny is ready to start kind of restocking that. And I don't know if a 27th pick is good enough to restock that for past 2021. So I don't think we're there yet. I think it's more likely that if we do trade the pick that we're trying to move up. But that's just kind of my own perspective on that. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't see him trading it really likely.
I think if it does go anywhere, it would be somebody who has been really irresponsible with the draft picks. And,
they haven't been irresponsible since the new ownership.
No, it's totally fair, but it would be, really beneficial for them to be able to take a guy in the first round this year and maybe sacrifice a pick that would probably be in the teens the year after or the year after that. So I could see something like that maybe shaking out, but I don't expect it.
In Brooklyn's war room, there is probably a picture of Danny Ainge smiling, and it says, "Do not talk to him." And I believe strongly that they will never, ever take a call. He's in their contacts as "Do not answer," And whatever he calls, like, nope, can't talk to him. He's like an ex-girlfriend who, really ruined their life. So, no, Brooklyn's not talking to Boston for the next probably 10 years, I would guess.
So the other, we've kind of discussed the whole Kawhi thing and whether or not there'll be a draft. I don't think there'll be a draft night trade for him or probably anybody else. I mean, it could happen. If you feel differently, feel free to jump in and tackle me on that. But the biggest thing I think worth discussing for potential draft strategy is trading up. And we've talked about this a little bit, individually with other people on podcasts. But what are your thoughts on maybe moving up for a guy like Bamba or Wendell Carter or, somebody maybe slipping, not necessarily up to those like high lottery picks, 4, 5, 6, whatever, but maybe kind of something more along the lines of still in the lottery but late lottery. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't like it. I think I'm content with who we'll probably take late first round. Danny's done a good job of finding talent late in the first round, early second round.
Maybe, definitely.
You got Yabusele and Tice. Yeah. You got those guys who are there. If you want to go back to Rozier at 16, I think I'm going to trust who he takes if he keeps the pick. And I wouldn't be really upset with going late. I also don't love the people that we'd probably get by trading up and what we'd have to give up to get them. I understand there's some interest in maybe trading Rozier just so we don't have to deal with the extension and then just kind of going back to a rookie contract for the next 4 years. I can see the value, but I'm not interested enough in anybody that I think it's worth it when, we could be contending with Rozier at the backup one, rather than putting a rookie there and hoping that he's able to kind of take on that role, because we don't have many guards to back up Kyrie right now. We got Terry, but I don't think we're going to hold him to Larkin and Smart. He'll be on the, he sometimes, like you said, takes the one, but I just don't think that there's enough. I think we should stick with what we have that's kind of promised right now that we know exists, that we can count on in Rozier and Smart as, viable backups for Kyrie and for, the two and stuff like that. So I don't think it's worth trading up for a rookie and then also ditching the assets that we have already.
I would not argue with that whatsoever. I think it is, definitely a possibility, but I would be surprised if it happens.
But to go back to your point about trading for a star, and you and I did talk about this, I wouldn't be completely upset if we did trade for Kawhi without Kyrie in the deal, trade other stuff with picks. I'd be fine with that, including our first round this year. But I would assume that it would be more likely, you know, the Lakers pick next year, or the Sacramento pick, I should say. And, you know, maybe Clippers or something like that. Like one of those two picks.
And there is a possibility. There is a possibility. Danger Cart was talking about this on Twitter, too, that with some careful cap maneuvering, you could assemble a trade deal with San Antonio for mostly younger players and picks without including a member of the J team. It would just require a little bit of waiting and some trust in the good faith of the organization should they want such a deal, more centered around remaining draft picks like the Clippers pick that may never convey in the first place. The very potentially one of the better assets in the league, depending on what ends up happening, the one and done, which we can talk about in a second. The Memphis pick might end up becoming clear and free of restrictions at just the moment we see one of the most stacked draft classes in history. So, I don't know, maybe that's a good spot to segue over to that. So have you heard about this?
You mentioned it. You were kind of talking about...
Yeah, so what this is for listeners is the league released an internal memo that got into the press, basically, about how they think there is a change for one and done coming and getting rid of it very soon, possibly as soon as 2021 season, the draft of that season being the earliest. And if that ends up happening, then you are going to see a lot of people reclassifying so that way they can fit into that draft. And that basically means you're going to get the top level talent of two seasons in one draft, followed by a pretty mundane draft. And if it is that season, Boston will have Memphis's pick at a time when they don't look to be incredibly great. You know, they will probably be a lottery team or close to it based on their current roster construction, age, and trajectory. So that could be a super, super valuable pick for a potential deal in the future as well. I mean, obviously, it's a little soon to really know if it's going to change and therefore be valuable. And it could also convey before then, depending on how Memphis ends up placing the next couple of seasons. But really fascinating thing to think about.
Yeah, no, that I generally haven't looked that far ahead. You know, it's I see the value in the picks, and I understand like where they'll probably fall, and I like that. But I'm so bad at tracking future prospects that I never am able to look past like the next year's draft. So I haven't really considered that yet.
If they're not playing UConn, I have no idea exactly. Yeah, same.
Yeah. So, you know, I should do that. That's probably the next step in my evolution as a basketball fan and as a basketball reporter for Celtics Life and stuff. But I'm just not there yet. I'll get there. You'll see. We be doing what we like every single day and night. Ridiculous. Party like it's 95. Kyrie, did you hear his track? I haven't listened to it yet.
Actually, I was waiting to just like shutter and hit close on the webpage, and it's kind of good.
Interesting. I saw a notification for it, and I was kind of I wasn't sure how to feel about it as a concept. I didn't listen to it because I figured it was going to be bad. But is it worth? Do you suggest taking a listen?
Well, for those who don't know, it is a little retro. It's in what's called the New Jack Swing style of rhythm and blues. It was very popular in the late 90s, which I guess is when Uncle Drew was in his heyday, now that he's an old man. And frankly speaking, you know, I mean, if you like Bell Biv DeVoe, New Edition, that kind of stuff, you know, Bell Biv DeVoe being a Boston-based band, then you'll probably like New Jack Swing. New Jack Swing was very popular in the Northeastern Corridor in particular. It's a very East Coast kind of a style. And, you know, even now, you know, this could just be me being, you know, 20 years old when that stuff came out. I thought it was pretty good. You know, I mean, I'm kind of biased in the antiquity of my taste, but, you know, I liked it.
I'll have to check it out, but I still... I wasn't sure how to feel about it and decided not to. I think I was also driving when I saw it, and I was just like, I've got good music playing now. I don't want to be like driving windows down and just have suddenly just an awful, awful song. But yeah, so I decided to ignore it. But Detroit has Dwayne Casey as the new head coach. Toronto has moved their assistant coach, Nick Nurse, to head coach. How does this affect us in the Eastern Conference? Is Detroit better? Is Toronto better or worse?
I think that Detroit really needs someone at the helm to activate the talent that is on the roster when it's not hurt. I think they don't have that bad of a roster. I mean, I don't think that they're much better than maybe like the seventh or sixth seed in the East, even with the East being as weak as it has been. But I do expect that he should be able to help them, at least on a culture level. I don't know that that roster in and of itself is going to get too far as currently constructed. We'll see what happens in the offseason. They no longer have Stan Van Gundy running either the coaching or front office anymore. So we might see some smarter moves. We might not. I have no idea. But Nick Nurse is a very interesting move, in my opinion. I always thought that it was Casey who, you know, made those moves. And it's coming out now that Nick Nurse was really one of the people who was pushing for Toronto to change their system. And Dwayne Casey kind of just got all the credit for it. So I understand why they elevated him. I'm really curious to see, you know, if maybe some of the boneheaded responses we saw, particularly against the Cavs in the postseason, if that ends up changing because he's at the helm.
I like both moves, to be honest.
I think they're good moves.
I think that Casey will fit well with Detroit. I think that he could maybe, like you said, kind of unlock the talent that they've got and, you know, do more with it. And, you know, they got Blake Griffin. They've got some good players on that team. You know, I always forget that Blake is there because it was just kind of like, it became, did they miss the playoffs? They didn't make the playoffs, right?
Detroit? No, I believe they missed the playoffs.
Is that the first time Blake Griffin has missed the playoffs in his career?
I think it is.
Yeah. So, you know, I forgot that he was there, but they're actually not as bad as I think we give them credit for. So Detroit, I would be surprised if they're not in the playoffs next year. And in probably like a top six seed, maybe.
I feel like that's about their ceiling.
I'll have some hot takes in the, you know, the heat of the offseason, but right now I'm not there yet. And then the Toronto, I think they get worse. You know, it's a first-time coach. I don't think that any team, you know, does really well. And it seems like I said earlier, they're considering nobody untouchable for a top 10 pick. So I wouldn't be surprised if they try and blow it up soon. So I'm not as high on Toronto. They're definitely going to fall off from last year, I think. I don't think they keep a number one seed.
It really depends on how those young pieces develop because they, you know, their depth really helped them, but some of their you know, marquee players like Kyle Lowry, for example, they're getting older, and if the young guys aren't picking up the slack, then yeah, I tend to agree that I don't think the coaching is necessarily going to be too different, particularly if it's true what I hear about him being the main impetus behind last season's change. But unless that talent really takes a good step forward, I think they're going to take at least a small step back next season.
Yeah, no, I still think they're a playoff team because they've got some seriously talented players all around, a very well constructed roster. But you know, I just think that they fall off a little bit. So, cool. Anything else you want to hit on before we take off?
Just real quick, there is a new practice facility, the Red Auerbach Center. And it is massive. It is immensely, amazingly equipped. I mean, they have two full-sized NBA basketball courts. They have like all kinds of pools and recovery facilities, a float tank, like top-of-the-line medical equipment, all kinds of, you know, I mean, you can get a shave from your barber while you're at the practice facility. They've got a dedicated video room. I mean, I could keep going on and on and on and on. It's really impressive. You can find all over.
Are we allowed to go? Can we like go and play there? Can we play some pickup basketball?
I don't know. Who do you know? Got any connections?
not that kind of connection. No.
Yeah. I mean, we can.
You mentioned it. The way you're talking about it, it sounds like you're like, oh, you should totally check this place out. It's sweet.
Well, you should. I mean,
and I feel like
online. We'll have something on Celtics Life about it very soon.
Sounds good. Anything you're working on for the site?
Well, evidently this.
I'm really excited. I initially was putting together a World Cup piece, and I'm still going to put it together of like who you should root for in the World Cup based on who your favorite player is.
Oh, I like it.
And I realized I'm going to make it, but I realized like there are 32 teams in the World Cup, and only, you know, 15, debatably 16 players if you want to include the two-way deals. So I decided I'll wait until the second round, basically, once we're through the group phase and we're down to 16 teams, And then I'm going to put that together of who you should root for in the second round of the World Cup. Bring some hype there. You know, if you have any thoughts, I'm thinking Gordon Hayward, and this one was my favorite. Gordon Hayward is Brazil because they're like bouncing back from a really tough year and after having gotten obliterated by Germany last World Cup. And they need, you know, they're really talented. They're one of the best teams. They're going to make this team a contender. And Brazil is as well. But no, they're bouncing back, stuff like that. I like that one. That one's good. Tice is Germany, obviously.
Is Australia in the World Cup?
They are. I'm not sure if they're going to make it second round. But they are, yeah.
That kind of, I mean, don't be mad at me, Aaron Baines, because that's obviously you. But if they weren't, or if they get eliminated, then he can be Mexico, because when he lands, there's an earthquake.
Yeah, that was how you were in Mexico. How was the vibe there? Now we're just completely off on soccer, but what was, yeah, let's talk about that. Mexico beat Germany in the first game of their group, and you were in Mexico City where there was a mini earthquake, right?
Yep. People freaked out and jumped up and down so much. It actually registered on the seismographs. And I mean, you know, you could definitely hear the goal pretty much everywhere. You could basically trip out your front door and see at least three or four screens that it was being played on in your neighborhood. You know, it's a big deal here. It's kind of like the NBA finals on steroids, I guess, or the Super Bowl on steroids, even in terms of like local viewership. It's definitely been interesting. And, you know, if I could just have like a smaller field and a smaller goal. Wait a minute. I just want basketball. Never mind.
Well, you can find that story in the future once the group phase ends, and also the Red Auerbach stuff on CelticsLife.com. And you can also find all of our merch and stuff with Reviewed Variety of shirts and hoodies, and all of that joy up on the top part of the Celtics Life website.
You can even find the pod on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and most podcatcher apps. Please subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And if you like what you hear, please give us 5 stars. If you don't like something, don't give us 3 stars or 4 stars or 2, 1 star. Let us know how to fix it, and we'll do our best. You can do that on any Celtics Life article in the comments section or on Twitter with the hashtag CLPOD. We're always trying to bring you the Celtics coverage the way you want it, the way you like it.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.